Welcome, and thanks for tuning in. On today's episode of Aura Connect's Clear Vision series, we'll be discussing seasonal eye allergies with special guest, Paul Gomes.
Very excited to speak on this topic. I've worked with Aura now for over 27 years, and the focus has been primarily on the development of ocular allergy products. And it's something that I personally know very well because I also have eye allergies and started my career at Aura as a study patient in one of the trials back in 1997. Liked it so much that I joined the company and haven't left. And it's been really very satisfying working on new therapies, being at the forefront of innovation and having that opportunity to working on many exciting products to help people through these bad seasons throughout the year where their eye allergies are very bad. It's something that I do on a daily basis at work and something that I enjoy very much talking about. So thank you very much for giving me this opportunity.
Many people associate allergies with sneezing and congestion, but how do allergies specifically impact eye health?
Our research has shown that about 90% of people who experience nasal allergies also experience eye allergies. It's nearly 100%. 90 is very high. What are these complaints? We've done surveys of people who suffer from eye allergies, and the primary symptom or complaint that they experience is itching, which is one of the cardinal symptom of ocular allergy. The eye doesn't itch really for due to any other condition. The other complaints, it's a tie, redness, which is the primary sign of ocular allergy. It's a pink hueish color of the eye, and tearing or watery eye is the other major complaint. Not as common, but some experience lid swelling, some experience allergic shiners, but it's important to note that nasal allergy and eye allergy are very common together.
How do environmental and seasonal factors influence eye allergies? Are there any emerging trends in patient cases?
We get to the common cause of allergy. It's an immune response to an allergen or to a substance that is in the environment that when comes into contact with people who suffer allergies, induces a allergic response. And in the eye, pollens are a common allergen. And as we know, especially here, it's all dependent upon the geographical location that you live in, but you're at the mercy of tree pollens, and you also have grass pollens, and in the later summer months, you have, and fall, you have weed pollen. So ragweed, for example, in the Northeast is a very common pollen that many people are allergic to. Depending upon your sensitivity, and our research has shown that the majority of individuals with allergies have multiple sensitivities. So they're not, it's very rare to find someone who's just allergic to one particular pollen. There are large groups of patients who have sensitivities to both grass and to tree pollens. And even within the trees, there are multiple trees. For example, here in New England, birch pollen is one of the main culprits. And there's very high cross-reactivity between birch and oak. So if you're allergic to birch, you will also be likely to be allergic to oak as well. And then you have the grasses, as I mentioned, and there's a lot of different types of grasses that people are allergic to. Some complain about having really bad allergies after mowing their lawn. And then, as I said, in the late summer, early fall period, you have ragweed, which is really prevalent in areas that have recently been disturbed, such as construction sites. And you see these very tall weeds that many people are allergic to. So, we're a victim of the growing season, the pollination season. It's the way that plants reproduce by releasing their pollen into the air. They're by nature really sticky, have these spikes around their granules and their pollen granules. And our eyes are, when we're awake, turning to collecting dishes for these pollens as we walk through the outside. But we also, as human beings, have the unfortunate habit of always touching our eyes. And as we see during pollen season, you only have to do is walk outside and go to your vehicle and see it being just totally covered with pollen. And imagine that same level of exposure as we're walking through this air that's just filled with pollen. It gets into our eyes either like directly or through our fingers, and it doesn't take much to initiate an allergic reaction. And you immediately have that sensation of itching. Your eyes start to water. All ways of trying to eliminate this, what the body perceives as an alien invasion of a parasite or a bacteria. And it's our way of trying to elicit a response in us by rubbing our eyes. The watery eyes is a way of flushing these pollens outside of down our nasal lacrimal duct and washing it out our face as well. And you have, again, we spoke also about the red eyes and some individuals' lid swelling. So these are all happening due to environmental exposure of pollens. And we don't particularly know, unless we've gone to an allergist, what species of tree or grass that we are sensitive to. Here in the Northeast, during the spring months of April through May, you have various trees pollinating at various times during those months. And then in May through July, you have various grasses that are pollinating. And like I mentioned before, you have the late summer, early fall pollination of ragweed. So depending on where you live in the country and what you're sensitive to, you have certain times of the year where you are allergic and you manifest these complaints of ocular allergy. Your eyes itch, they water, they're red. It does make you miserable, for lack of a better word. And it does impact your quality of life. Our studies have shown that people feel less productive. They feel more tired. They are embarrassed about their appearance and they're less productive. So you have a condition which for many people involves many days of not feeling great due to their eye allergies. Your second question also related to any prevalence, or any trends that are occurring. Well, we do know that there are more individuals reporting allergies as the years go on. And one culprit is a warmer planet, which makes these plants and trees and grasses, weeds grow better. They like the warmer temperatures. You also have pollution, especially in urban settings where there is a synergy or there's a combination of pollutants interacting with the pollen granules themselves, which cause damage to the ocular surface, making it easier. So it's a twofold reaction. First of all, the pollutants are eroding away at your natural barrier on the surface of your eye. And there is this mixing of the pollutants with the pollens that cause the pollens to react even stronger and induce a more severe ocular allergic reaction and a more chronic one. And you also have the heat and the warmer climate, which promotes more plant growth, more pollen. So all those factors are making, unfortunately, ocular allergy not a disease or a condition that is evaporating. It's one that's increasing, and more people are suffering from this condition. And then the other side of the coin are other substances or other allergens which people are sensitive to, the so-called perennial allergens. My particular nemesis is cat. I mean, they're nice animals, but I'm very allergic to the cats. And my allergies to animals have increased. I'm also now allergic to dogs. So you have the animal danders, which people are sensitive to, and that doesn't have seasons like plant pollens do, but they do affect individuals, especially those that, even though they have allergies, still love the pets more and are willing to put up with it. And you also have other perennial allergens that you really can't avoid as well as you can a cat or a dog, and that's dust mites. Dust mites are inherent in everyone's home, and some people get red, itchy eyes from cleaning their closets or doing spring cleaning around the home. That's another source, a common source of eye allergies. And then you have molds and other perennials that are also exposed year-round. So that kind of gives you the whole constellation of these triggers, these common triggers, whether they're seasonal allergies, which are dependent upon pollens, or the perennials. And as I mentioned earlier, the vast majority of people have a combination of both. So you have these periods during the year where you suffer for days on end during the height of the pollen season in the spring and early summer, as well as the fall with the weeds. And then you also have these exposures to either the pets or the dust.
What are the biggest challenges in developing treatments for allergic eye conditions?
If we go through the list of treatments for eye allergies, the first one is avoidance. As I mentioned earlier, it may not be practical, and we can't stay sealed in a home or in a bubble during allergy season, during the springtime or early summer or fall, depending on our sensitivities. You also have the impracticality of, for those who are allergic to dust mites, how do you avoid that? Yes, I guess it gives you an excuse not to do spring cleaning, but they're in your mattresses, they're in your pillows. So avoidance is, and then the other issue is we don't know exactly what all our sensitivities are. And some may who have gone to an allergist and done skin testing and been able to identify some of the more common ones that they're allergic to. But for most of us, we don't know exactly what some of these triggers are. So avoidance is the first non-therapeutic but option for treating ocular allergy or not causing ocular allergy or making ocular allergy a little less severe, but it's not really practical. And then in the non-therapeutic area, you have cold compresses, which is a way of making your eyes feel better by putting some cold compress to your eyes to reduce the swelling, to just quiet down the itching and some of the redness. Now, we have a lot of therapies, and that's one thing that Aura has a long history, over 40 years of doing clinical research on new eye allergy therapies. And again, I consider myself very fortunate and proud to have been part of that legacy of working with many innovative companies in developing eye drops for eye allergy. And the primary eye drop for a first-line therapy for eye allergy in terms of eye drops are antihistamines. And these very quickly, and some of them have a long duration of action. They give you protection or a long effect for 8, 16, some even 24 hours, work at reversing and preventing that itching. And there are many of these therapies, and many of them were Rx. You needed a prescription for, and now they're widely available over the counter, and they're very effective. They work as well on redness and tearing, but not to the same level as they do for itching. So you have many options, but the book hasn't been written on options for making ocular allergy treatment better. There is a subset of people who, even with these antihistamine eye drops, are partially or not at all encounter relief of their eye allergy signs and symptoms. And these people tend to gravitate to ophthalmologists who will prescribe them a ocular anti-inflammatory, like a steroid, which will shut down the inflammation associated with this eye allergy. And our estimates through a lot of our internal surveys and discussions with ophthalmologists around the world are about 40% of individuals need something more than an antihistamine eye drop. So you have, on one end, antihistamines, which are safe and widely available. And on the other hand, you have an Rx steroid are anti-inflammatory, which you need to get a prescription for and be followed. Steroids aren't as safe as antihistamines, and you need to monitor with your physician your IOP levels and also be worried about other side effects that are associated with steroid eye drops. So there is an opportunity and there is interest in finding something, some therapies that are stronger than antihistamines. And safer than steroids. But the challenges for eye allergy is kind of a victim of its own success. There's so many different antihistamine options. And for the majority of people, the antihistamines work well to reverse or to reduce their symptoms, primarily, as I mentioned, itching. But you do have individuals that, as I said, require something else. These are the people who tend to have both perennial and seasonal triggers. They suffer year-round allergies. They have chronic inflammation because of these eye allergies. They have more lid swelling. And these individuals really need newer therapies. And that's something that Aura is actively engaged in working with clients to provide treatment alternatives than what we currently have. But to answer your question simply, there are many over-the-counter options for ocular allergy. Saturation of treatment options, although they all act in the same way, and they act after the horses have left the barn. So the allergy has occurred. You have the symptoms, and now you're trying to stop, reduce the itching, to reduce the redness. There are there is a need for different options for those, especially for those who suffer really badly through the year, these perennial allergic conjunctivitis sufferers that really have significant bouts throughout the year. And that's what we're working with companies to find solutions for these individuals.
Are there any exciting advancements in allergic conjunctivitis treatments that you're currently seeing in clinical research?
The answer is a resounding yes. We have encountered new therapies that are being currently evaluated for treating ocular allergy by preventing the allergic reaction from occurring in the first place. That's the ultimate. That's the holy grail. Unlike antihistamines, which treat, or steroids, which treat after the allergic reaction has occurred, there are therapies currently being evaluated that prevent the allergic reaction. That, you know, it's very exciting to actually prevent the disease from happening. So while I could be allergic to pollens or to perennial allergens, by taking these therapies, I could not react to them. So we're looking at two different approaches to solve this problem of ocular allergy. One is through targeting the activation of the cell called the mast cell, which is the culprit for causing all the signs and symptoms of eye allergy. It's filled with histamine, and when someone becomes into contact with a pollen or a perennial allergen, the mast cell releases a whole slew of mediators, primarily histamine, which causes the eye itching and the redness. And other pro-inflammatory mediators are also released by the mast cell, causing allergic inflammation. So the mast cell really is allergy, the primary culprit. So if you have a way to prevent the mast cell from turning on and releasing its pro-allergic and pro-inflammatory mediators, that's a great target. And we are looking at one such compound currently and clinical development. Another area, way of tackling the same issue, is through immunotherapy, taking allergy shots, but in a more convenient dosing schedule. And if there's a way of taking this allergy shot specific to one of the allergens that you are severely allergic to, say birch pollen, you can prevent or desensitize, and upon further allergy seasons, not experience such a severe reaction in your eye to these pollens. So that's something very exciting. So in both of these approaches, you're targeting the root cause of allergy and can you prevent it from happening in the first place? Closing the barn before the horses have run out. And we're very excited to be working with these therapies. And as I said, they're currently being evaluated for eye allergy.
What role do clinical trials play in advancing allergy-focused eye treatments?
Clinical research is critical to the advancement of new therapies, of the introduction of new therapies in order to treat eye allergies and all medications for that matter, all conditions for that matter, but focusing just now on, you know, allergies. You need, in the United States, you need, a drug company needs to go to the FDA and make an application to try a new therapy to get it approved for eye allergy. And in order to do that, the FDA requires well-controlled clinical studies, which will show that A, the therapy is safe, and B, that it works as you claim it to work for either eye itching or for redness or for all the signs and symptoms of eye allergy. If you show in these clinical studies that it works for itching and for eye redness, you get that whole claim in your package and insert that the therapy is indicated for all the signs and symptoms of allergic conjunctivitis or eye allergy. Without clinical research, without volunteers such as myself back too long to even back in 96 and 97, we wouldn't have the necessary data to support that these new therapies are working and are safe for use to treat ocular allergy. So clinical research is indispensable. And thanks to the many tens of and hundreds of thousands of individuals who volunteered over the last 40 years to participate in clinical ocular allergy studies to evaluate these new therapies, we wouldn't have the large number of treatment options that we currently have. So it's vital. It's the way that we are able to show the safety and the efficacy of these agents. And throughout the years, as I said before, I've been very fortunate to be at that leading edge in discussions with various companies who have these new therapies, who have tried different approaches. Some that come to mind that were really innovative was the Johnson & Johnson contact lens that had an antihistamine eye drop in its packing solution. So that was developed for those individuals that wear contact lenses, daily disposable contact lenses, who have also eye allergies. And the two don't go hand in hand. Many people have to discontinue their contact lens use because their eyes are just so bad. They feel so bad with their eyes due to eye allergies. And this was a new approach, which allowed individuals to wear contact lenses without having itching for their full day's usage of their contact lens wear. So that was very fun and innovative. And again, required clinical studies to ultimately get its approval. Another therapy that was approved a couple of years back was a punctal plug that had steroid eluting out of it. We were able to show that this product by Ocular Therapeutics, Dextenza, when inserted in the puncta, could offer up to 4 weeks of protection from eye itching during ocular allergic episodes. Also innovative. So we've had the ability through this clinical research not only to show the efficacy and safety of the drugs, but also to learn a lot about the disease itself, about what's the demographics of clinical research participants. About 40 to 45 years old is the most common participant in eye allergy. 60% to 40% females to male. And you have lots of opportunities during this research to learn a lot about the disease, the different sensitivities, the different patterns. We also have used quality of life questionnaires to understand the impact and to be able to monitor if a certain therapy is improving people's quality of life. So we have different learnings from clinical research besides just the regulatory need to show that a drug is both safe and effective. But without clinical research, and as I said, without the volunteerism of individuals to participate in a clinical study, we wouldn't have new therapies.
In your opinion, What makes Aura the premier partner for studying allergic conjunctivitis?
Aura was founded by Dr. Mark Abelson, who was a physician scientist who focused on ocular immunology and ocular allergy. And he founded Aura and worked with the FDA and with various companies on new therapies back when there were very few eye therapies for ocular allergy. So our foundation at Aura was ocular allergy. It's since broadened throughout all different indications, but our foundation was ocular allergy. And based on that, we have had the fortune to work with many innovative companies in the development of, I don't say all, but nearly all the therapies that have been approved for ocular allergy. So we're like Sherpas who have gone up to Everest 20, 30 times. We know the regulatory pathway. We know the way to match the design of a clinical study, the protocol, the handbook on what to do in a clinical study, match that to the mechanism of action of a new therapy. Decades of experience in this field with a large network of investigative clinical sites throughout the country, and with this long history with the regulatory agencies, whether it's the FDA or others around the world. And ocular allergy is not just an American problem. It's a global problem. It's growing yearly across the world. And we've had the fortune to work with companies and getting drugs that have been approved in the U.S. also in other areas of the world, in Europe, in Japan, in China, and in other areas as well. So we have the experience, we have the know-how, we have the successes behind us, over 20 regulatory approvals for this indication, and we have the dedicated investigator sites across the country. We have our clinical model, as I mentioned before, the Aura Conjunctival Allergen Challenge model, the CAC model, which is a very precise method of showing efficacy of for allergic conjunctivitis. And we have standardized scales as well, the yardsticks of how to measure itching, how to measure redness, how to measure lid swelling and the other signs and symptoms associated with allergic conjunctivitis. So these are the yardsticks that all the other drugs have been evaluated on. So these are the reasons why we work well with partners who are interested in developing new eye allergy therapies. And we have done very well by these partners in working very hard in basing our protocol designs on the science of how the drug works, how our knowledge of the disease, as well as our operational excellence in executing these studies. These are the reasons why Aura is a great partner with companies who are interested in developing new eye allergy therapies.
What should patients know about participating in clinical trials for allergy-related ophthalmic treatments?
Ocular allergy treatments are very quick. They're very short studies on average. They are healthy volunteers who happen to have eye allergies. And depending on the study design, you're talking about anywhere between 4 and 6 visits occurring within 2 months. And volunteers are compensated for their time. In most of our trials, we create the allergic reaction in the clinic at the doctor's office. So you come in with white eyes and eyes that are not itchy, and we find what particular pollen or what particular animal dander or dust mite you're allergic to, and instill in your eyes enough to give you a moderate allergic reaction. And the visits last within like an hour or two. And typically after every single allergic challenge that occurs, you're given immediately a relief drop. So you leave the doctor's office without any itching and with no redness. So they're very fun, being someone who participated in them and who designs them now, but they are very fast. And as I mentioned earlier, it's a huge contribution to society to participate in trials, because without them, we wouldn't have new therapies available. And you learn a lot about your disease. You learn about, you get frequent eye examinations as part of the study. So if there's any issues with your eyes, you know about it. And you also learn about what you're allergic to. And many people discover new things that they were allergic to, but never knew they were. So there's an informative piece of participating in clinical studies, both on ocular health, as well as what profile of allergens or pollens or animal dander you're allergic to. And as I mentioned as well, you are contributing to society by advancing new therapies and also compensated for your time and your participation.
How do you see the future of allergy and eye health evolving over the next 5 to 10 years?
We are, as a society, advancing. And there are new therapies being evaluated for ocular allergy that have different mechanisms of action or different ways. They're not me-too antihistamines that there's a huge supply of different options over the counter. But these are therapies that are targeting the main event of allergy, the mast cell. And by preventing the disease from happening in the first place, that's a huge advancement in the field of eye allergy. So I do expect that there'll be more of these therapies that, instead of based like antihistamines on treating this symptom, you're preventing the reaction from occurring in the first place, which is powerful. It'd be great to spend springtime without having to worry about eye allergies, without feeling down about the way you look or being impacted, not being fully visually functioning or physically functioning. If you feel miserable and have, you know, eye and nasal allergies combined, it has an impact on quality of life. So by having these new therapies, I would predict within the next 5 to 10 years, a new wave of therapies targeting the main event of eye allergy, preventing it from starting in the first place, are going to come to market. And that'll be a true game changer. You won't have the disease and then try to make the symptoms better or go away quicker, be able to stop it from happening in the first place. So I think that's going to be very powerful, and that's going to affect many, many people's lives and make it a better world for all of the allergy sufferers.
Is there anything else you'd like to share with patients or industry professionals about allergies and eye health?
I've had the privilege over the last 27 years on the leading edge of ocular allergy clinical development. It's important for us all to realize that decisions made by pharmaceutical companies have to be economic, has to make sense to spend the money to invest in a candidate new therapy for a disease. It's not an automatic win. There are many hurdles, and in drug development, many therapies fail for one reason or another. So in order for drug companies to invest, they need to believe that A, their product is a game changer, and that there's an unmet need in eye allergy. And while we have tons of options in the pharmacy over the counter for eye allergy in terms of treatments, as I mentioned earlier, the book is not completely written on ocular allergy. There's so much more that can be done to prevent the disease from happening in the first place. And that's what I make it a mission as I speak with different therapeutic innovators about ocular allergy. Many don't see the need, feel like there's plenty of therapies. And while that there are plenty of therapies, there's a lot of room for improvement. And stopping the reaction from happening in the first place is an area that's currently being investigated, and encourage others that have similar therapies to invest and look into ocular allergy. It's a very common disease. It's not going anywhere. It's growing yearly. It's growing globally. And currently, we don't have therapies to stop it. And that's an area there's still a lot of need, and encourage those innovators to look into this condition. Because while not sight-threatening, like retinal diseases, it is a disease that has a profound effect on quality of life. It is a disease that affects 30 to 40% of all Americans and all humans globally. And it is a disease that's getting worse annually. There's a lot of room for new therapies in this area.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Clear Vision series. Check out auraconnects.com and our socials for updates on new episodes. Thank you.